Hey there, Z Nation fans! We are back, and oh, it is so good to be reunited. Guys, there is so much to talk about for the beginning of Season 4, Episode 1, Warren's Dream. We've got a lot to cover, and we have a very special guest calling in, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Is this the first time we've actually opened up with this song for this show? I feel like it isn't.
I think we've done it at least once before.
But when they quote it in the episode, we're obligated.
I mean, a show about the zombie apocalypse, I feel like we have to talk about this song at least once, right?
It's a sin not to.
Yes.
I concur with that assessment. Hey there, Z Nation fans! Welcome back! It has been way too long since we have heard from all of y'all. And, yeah, I think I speak for everybody when I say we're super excited to be talking about Season 4, Episode 1, Warren's Dream. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. On the far end, there's the lovely Michelle Cullen.
Hello, everyone. Long time no talking. Missed you.
Where can they follow you?
You can follow me on the Twitter sphere at Michelle_Cullen.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
It has been. I almost forgot my handle.
And so to her left is the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We also have a hashtag ABTVZNation for those of you guys watching live. So if you guys have any fun comments, feel free to put them in the hashtag. And we've got you pulled up on the live chat as well for everybody watching live on our new YouTube channel, which is the AfterBuzz Sci-Fi Fantasy and is it... superheroes?
Yes.
Yes, I got it. Before we get started, as always, guys, if you have any comments on iTunes, definitely that is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. We'll do. I don't know if we have any over the break. We'll probably do a shout out towards the end of the show as just a reminder real quick. But yeah, if you haven't already done so, go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. And we have a quick live read for you guys as well. Pardon me, I have to get into my proper announcing voice, which is a newscaster from the 40s. Support for this podcast comes from the astonishing new television series Marvels and Humans. On the dark side of the moon, there exists a civilization unlike anything you've ever seen before. People with extraordinary powers and abilities that make them more than human. They are inhuman. Meet Black Bolt, the king. The sound of his voice can destroy a city. Medusa, the queen, whose hair is a living weapon. And Lockjaw, the giant bulldog who teleports the royals from planet to planet. But now... treachery in the form of Black Bolt's evil brother Maximus threatens the royal family and their kingdom. The royals have been forced to escape to their true home, Earth, where the real fight for their future has just begun. Join in this epic family drama as two brothers battle to claim one throne. Marvels and Humans, new episodes Friday, 9, 8 central on ABC.
Lockjaw is the best character. Lockjaw is amazing.
I don't know if any of our viewers for this show happen to watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, but we've been talking about Inhumans for a long time because they were initially introduced on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so, personally, I'm really excited to see where the Inhumans show goes.
It should be good. Also, I want to listen to you tell stories in that
voice. Oh my god! All the time. You do every live read ever?
So good.
That was beautiful.
Can we just have a podcast of Megan in that voice telling stories, please?
Only if we can do weird voices also and she can interview us.
We'll be the weird... We'll fill in the stories.
Sounds good. Thank you. Our engineer is also telling me well done. So thank you, guys. Anyway, guys, we do have a special guest calling in. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and just talk about this episode. Because it has been a while.
I wasn't expecting a time skip. Generally speaking, I was not expecting a time skip.
I mean, there's been some press on it, but I'll be honest, when it comes to a lot of the shows we cover for AfterBuzz, I tend to stick my head purposely in the sand because I'm like, la 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 la, do not tell me I want to be surprised. Whereas it's also hard not to.
I wind up with, you should book this person for this episode. And I sit there and go, oh God, what does that mean?
Well, on Instagram, it's, you know, it's hard to stay unspoiled for certain things following a lot of the cast on Instagram, and a lot of the costume designers and things like that, too, because we're getting, like, updated things. But, yeah, as far as a two-year time skip, I was real surprised.
I had no idea.
But also that kind of makes sense, too, because this is also the same show that launched a bunch of nuclear weapons.
At the end of season one,
and just sort of fixed it at the beginning of season two.
I feel like Z Nation is the kind of show where there are a lot of shows when they know they're not doing well that end with a cliffhanger in a desperate bid to get another season, and often don't. Z Nation just ends with a cliffhanger because they're like, you know what? If we get a season, great. And if we don't get a season, suffer.
We do what we want!
Pretty much! You kind of get used to the idea at the end of season one, like, oh, this is now a nuclear apocalypse. How are they going to get out of this?
What a twist!
What a twist! What a twist!
So
I love it.
AfterBuzz TV put up a poll a little earlier, before we got started on the show, asking which character, after the two-year time skip, had the best look. And I wanted to go across the table, starting with you, Michelle. Who do you think had the best look after 2 years?
Oh, gosh, that's really tough. I'm going to have to say Murphy. What?
He cleaned up real good.
He was a translucent ghost with a blue eye patch, and now he's just dandy. He's dandy, Murphy.
He's doing a lot better.
He looks like a soccer mom. Like a really high-class soccer mom.
Tell me I'm wrong. We always put notes on the board before we start, and I put Stepford Murphy.
He is Stepford Murphy.
It looks a little... I mean, all of Zona is like a little Stepford-ish.
The dude is wearing a vest and a tie. Like, come on.
It's like, looking at him now, I'm like... You were a criminal before the apocalypse happened.
He was a petty criminal.
I was
going to
say, wasn't it mail fraud? Yeah. Yeah. We established that it was an embarrassing crime.
We're introduced to him in a jumpsuit, though.
That's true.
How about you, Katie? Who do you
Addie.
Think? Addie. Yep.
She always has the best look. This hasn't changed.
Yep. I would have to agree with that assessment. I thought Addie's new look was post-apocalyptic chic. Yes. Even the eye patch, yeah, for sure. Although. Not for nothing. 10K's looking pretty good. Like, I feel like his jaw is getting a little bit
weirded me out. Like, I could not get past the mutton chops. Like, what
I
are you
think
doing?
He's looking more mature because that young boy is growing up. And I just think that's adorable.
That's just dandy.
It's just dandy. It is kind of weird seeing Red without her. Kind of titular red hood.
Yeah. She's still got a scarf going on, though, doesn't she?
A little bit, yeah. There's still a little bit of, like, pop to it, but it's not the full-on little Red Riding Hood sort of look
anymore.
No,
now she's kind of 90s grunge in the apocalypse.
A little bit. But, yeah, actually, for Attack on Titan fans, with the Mikasa scarf.
Yeah,
for sure. Oh, my gosh. I love that. So let's talk about Zona a little bit, because when we start this episode off... we're introduced to a Sarah Connor-esque dream, for which the episode is named Warren's Dream. And we just, it looks like straight up nuclear annihilation. And when she actually wakes up from her coma, she's in this very sterile compound, a la like Alien Resurrection or whatever. And then when she actually comes face to face with Murphy again, it looks like that... Like, Zona's this pretty, actually cool and chill place to hang out during the apocalypse. Anybody waiting for the shoe to drop?
Oh, I got two things to say about that. One, the fact that Murphy made the joke about it. You know, it's the rest of humanity, or at least the 0.001 rich white percent. Like, yep, thank you.
That's an issue.
That is absolutely who it is. And two, she's in a coma. They put her in white underwear and give her a pedicure and 3-inch heels? Like... What the hell is Zona doing? That's crazy.
She's not even in a hospital gown. Like,
no!
They took the time to give her a pedicure.
And white is so hard to keep clean, and that was pristine. What? Like, this is creepy. Creepy
and
stuff.
If you're gonna be pampered, like, that keeps constant maintenance because your fingernails keep growing. So that means that they recently gave her a pedicure and then put her back into the bag that
she
was in.
Well, recently changed her outfit, too.
She's got to cook. She's got to simmer to get better.
I haven't seen someone
that... She's got to marinate?
I haven't seen someone that pristine and white come out of a plastic tube since Tron Legacy, okay?
Kalina looked good, though. And in my head, damn, I was like, she's probably really happy with her entire wardrobe for this.
Yes.
For this episode. I mean, there's no dirt. There's no falling.
This entire episode, yeah, it's like she's in a normal... She's in, like, a normal soundstage. Because we, you know, not to brag or anything, guys, but we've seen a lot of the locations where they actually shoot. And, yeah, it is a lot of dirt, a lot of grime, a lot of running around. And this looked like a soundstage.
Well, I'm sure some of it's for soundstage, but I'm also pretty sure that some of it was actual neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they were filming in Oregon for parts of this.
Yeah, I think so.
Which the sunny parts were the soundstage, obviously.
And I don't know if you guys would pick up on this or if any fans picked up on this, but when they did the close-up on the shoes, I had the moment of like, oh, the Kim Kardashian boots have made their way into the nation. Because there is that whole thing where she wore those clear plastic Kanye boots and it shows off the sweat and everything, mm-hmm. and that's what was... Anyway.
Let's just say that the fact that like the Zona doctors took time to give her footwear and like... fancy footwear
and a pedicure and kind of the futuristic underwear outfit, like it wasn't sexy, it was future utilitarian.
And we'll get into this when we talk about more of the residents of Zona, but I feel like the scientists in particular are into some weird stuff. So
what? I mean, that scientist at the end of the table was the only guy that didn't get splattered by the cake mishap.
With the Andy Warhol glasses, I don't like that guy.
He's a creeper.
I Ooh. Love him in the sense that I'm terrified by him.
You're like, you haven't said a word, and I find that real
like,
unsettling.
Not to jump ahead, but how he claps like this with pure rage on his face.
You intrigue me. I think I'm going to die.
I don't want to meet you, but I like looking at you from a distance, kind of like a zoo.
Now, talking...
Well, what do you think Zona is?
It's a zoo.
Zuna.
I mean, maybe.
That's why you keep me.
I mean, not for nothing.
No, it was bad. That's why you keep me.
But, I mean, obviously we know not everything's on the up and up in this. Maybe it is. Maybe it is just kind of like a human menagerie. I don't... Ugh.
Oh, creepy.
We'll get into...
They talked about bringing Warren into the gene pool.
Yeah, gross.
Well, they only got like 400 people there. That's not a very diverse gene pool.
I do want to present this question for speculation purposes. We see Murphy, and it looks like he has been fully restored, and supposedly that his cure worked. Do we think that that's 100% true, or are we going to see some awful, horrible turn partway through the season regarding his everything?
Oh, I'm expecting a turn. There's always a turn.
I have a crazy theory. I'm going to save it for the end.
Save it for predictions?
Yep. Could it be bunnies?
All right, cool. But one of the questions that we're sort of left with at this episode is that like Murphy had like a whole camp of people who were following him, and
who were under
his mind control, and we don't really hear a word about them this entire episode
because it was two years later.
True, that's very true. They probably just got left in the apocalypse. If they didn't die, they're just out there.
Because it's like the healing time is twice as long as they were together. So they were together like 8 months. So yeah, that's plenty of time to heal, according to breakup rules in Cosmo.
But you brought up
something while we were watching it the other night that Murphy was able to control people who got that vaccine. So what does that say about Zona?
Well, what it says specifically about the founder, who was the first test in terms of, like, he was the first attempted source for the cure, which is what made that dinner scene so creepy and unsettling when he started clapping, because it was like, is he doing that just because he's the founder and they all have to follow suit, or is this a straight up, like, Murphy mind control moment that we're seeing here?
Either way, it went on for way too long.
Yeah, it was awkward. Ugh. It was awkward.
Hell, messed up.
Speaking of the founder, I kind of love when we're introduced to him because he is played by horror icon Michael Berryman, who anybody who knows anything about horror will recognize him. He is a fun character actor that pops up in a lot of things, probably most famous for his role in The Hills Have Eyes. So I was delighted to see him. I was like, oh, look at that. I know him.
He's being really creepy.
Good job, you. So yeah, I was really excited when I saw him. That made me happy.
I enjoyed. Wasn't this the second time we've seen a breathing apparatus that was a skull? I had that in my mind, but I didn't go back.
What was the first time?
I don't know that it's the breathing apparatus, but I know that we saw a ton of skull stuff with
Oh, yeah.
Los Muertes? Who was the gang?
Los Muertes?
Was it Los Muertes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Really on top of this. It was them.
It's been a while.
Because, yeah, his stick, the man's stick... In there had the skull on it. I feel like I thought I saw.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of death iconography in this show.
Again, like zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
kind of par for the course.
Yeah.
I will say though that like that cake looked real good. Is that wrong? That like
I'm not sure I would eat anything with a face.
Really? Not even for Halloween? You wouldn't have a zombie cake?
If you're in the middle of a zombie apocalypse and then someone's like, I heard you like chocolate and killing zombies, so I made you a cake with a filling meant to resemble blood and brains. Please take this large knife and cut it up. Like, no. There is a time and a place. A Halloween party is a time and place.
It wasn't very tactful.
The zombie apocalypse is not, and that wasn't the very attractive looking face. Come on, that is a cake Rex cake.
I am just saying.
That is not a professional.
That it is officially October 2nd. I'm ready for all the Halloween decorations and goodies. I saw some of my coworkers putting up Halloween decorations today, and it made me very happy.
You didn't put your Halloween machine on your desk?
I did.
Good.
I've had that up for like a week now.
A week?
They make Halloween machines, you guys. They are adorable.
They are. But yeah, I'm in the mood for zombie cake. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but this was not the time and place for it.
Well, they've been removed from zombies for a long time, so
they're a little tone deaf.
It's not too soon for them.
They're like, you've been here for 2 years. Like, let's have a party.
Been having these horrifying nightmares. Sure. So it's still very much PTSD.
It's only been like, I don't know, 2 hours for you?
I think it's a little more than that. I feel like we had the better half of the day before the world's worst dinner party.
I mean, it's kind of hard
to tell. The world's worst dinner party was the cannibals in season one. Yeah. The world's second worst dinner
party.
The second worst.
I don't know. Maybe this one falls into the category of most awkward.
I will say, the way that the cake splattered on everyone except for Creepy Doctor Man.
I know, right?
And the founder and... just a tiny, tiny bit on Murphy's face, not his snazzy suit, and none on Warren. I just need to know how she chopped at that. I don't know how
cake
none.
For you, cake for
I
you.
I don't
cake
know how you. Any how none got on her.
When you've been killing zombies for as long as she has,
you learn to pull the knife away.
You learn to get splatter everywhere. Swish and flick.
Swish and flick. But I do love. Seeing this very vulnerable side of Warren, because even though we know for a fact, like, this is a utopia and the zombie apocalypse, yeah, no, those don't exist. Every time we see those, anytime we see a place that is supposed to be safe, you know by the end of a couple episodes from now, it's going to be overrun with Z's. And here, we know that things at Zona are not necessarily as they appear. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been super, built up as this evil, menacing place leading up to this point anyway. But even that aside, just seeing Warren kind of being unable to cope with the concept of normalcy again is something that is really interesting for her character.
I mean, she's been in the apocalypse for her 6 years. And because they're like, oh, it's been 8 years since day one, so that's including the time skip.
Thursdays? Keep track of Thursdays?
Yeah. So she's been doing this and surviving in this and going through multiple flavors of hell for 6 years. And then, sure, get used to this in like 3 hours. No, she's still going to be in survival mode. You don't suddenly wake up in paradise after getting shot by a UFO. God, this is a weird show.
Yeah.
Well, and immediately become accustomed to it. You think that this is a trap. You think that there's an issue. Like, something's gonna happen.
Well, and the other thing is the way that the men are talking is, we must keep you in the gene pool. You'll be perfect for the reset. Like, stop objectifying my girl, first of all. And do not assume that you can enter I'm just saying.
Yeah, that you're making consent. A lot of presumptions. And also, what was that? About a reset? What?
That's a little...
yeah. The reset must happen. We must do the reset. I'm like, yeah. And genocide.
I froze in on the poster the second time watching it to try to see what it was, and it's just three people staring up, and I was like, that's ominous. It's just, one is in a bright white tie.
Not a fan.
And he's just...
Not a fan. Now, anytime you get, like, a group where everything's like, whoo, yay, everything's wonderful, and soon the world will be anew, it's like, this is a cult. I gotta go.
It's very Stepford. You were right about that.
It's very Stepford, and also, yeah, I feel like any moment now, yeah, they're gonna bring out the fruit punch to go with the cake, and they're gonna ask everyone to drink the fruit punch. I'm not a fan of that. No. No, thank you.
I do not care for fruit punch.
I do not. No. Opposite of that. But yeah, so kind of to sort of wrap up the sort of stuff that we get, I love seeing that vulnerable side of Warren, particularly because living in the apocalypse takes a toll on you, and she became so single-minded towards the end of last season that it was nice to see that humanity come back, like, even in the form of vulnerability. And we know she's going to get back on top of it. But to sort of wrap up the Zona stuff, who do we get introduced to towards... Oh!
Yeah!
Hey there! Hello!
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Has Carl called in?
No, he's... We're going to do that a different week.
Oh, are you sure? Are you sure? I talked to him. I was like, I thought maybe he was going to call in.
Nope, not this week.
Not this week, but we're happy to say that joining us live on the air is Abram Cox, the director of this episode.
Yay! Oh, wow, okay, so I'm live.
Yes,
surprise!
Wow, okay.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
On this conversation.
A little bit of swearing.
We keep it at the level of the show.
Exactly. I like that. That was all in sync. Hi, guys.
We've said it a lot.
It's good chatting with you again. How have you been?
I'm doing really well. I literally just got off of shooting. We're in the midst of shooting the finale for Z Nation Season 4 right now. So I got off work and had a little food. And at this point, you know, just giving you guys a shout out.
Well, thank you for joining
thank
us.
So much.
Much appreciated. So we were just talking about, you know, it's good to be back for season 4. How is it returning for this season? Because right off the bat, aesthetically speaking, the show has a very different look to it.
Well, you know, it's actually, I got to give credit to Carl in that one. He had this idea about saying, hey, look, let's literally go 2 years into the future and basically everything's gotten, you know, a lot more terrible in the apocalypse. And, you know, we're going to show people what they've been wondering this whole Zona experience is and where that's going and what that leads to. And, you know, that's kind of what you get a taste of in episode 1. And then episode 2, without giving anything away, continues the story and raises some really interesting questions that episode 3 will then sort of even up the ante on even more. And where it all goes is a downward spiral into just how insane this post-apocalyptic landscape has gotten. So it's really funny. It's like, you know, it's funny, but in a way that's I think not to be political or anything of that nature, but it's funny in a way that is truly satirical of a mirror to society, so you could say, of what we're seeing in today's world, where just like Alice in Wonderland, up is down and down is up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you say that's sort of the direction that this the season is taking, because that's what zombie fiction has always done. Mm-hmm. Is it's always been a sort of dark mirror for society of like, hey guys, this is a bit of social commentary we're going to drop on you in the context of the dead coming back to life. So I'm real excited that Z Nation's going to tackle all that.
I feel like Z Nation's the kind of social commentary where they picked up a folding chair, WWE style, and have just been beating it over the head. I love it, though.
It's totally true. It's totally true. And, it, you know, hey, it is a good comparison to WWE, especially as like, you know, you definitely get that WrestleMania wrestle-off amongst all the different crazy characters.
For sure. We were just talking about how creepy a lot of the Zona characters that we're introduced to in this episode seem just right off the bat. Like, oh yeah, that's unsettling. Not a fan.
Like, we have the Stepford Everyones, and then we have Judge Doom at the end of the table there. And
the founder, and then the guy in the Andy Warhol glasses who...
No, that's Judge Doom.
That's his name?
No, that's who I'm calling. Okay. Judge Doom.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we didn't get a name drop.
And when I killed the zombies, I sounded just like...
Nice.
I think good I just reference. Murdered the audio levels. I'm sorry.
Just went right up there.
Yep.
But yeah, we're when you guys were sitting down talking about what Zona would actually look like, because it's had a lot of buildup over the last two seasons. What sort of world did you want to present when you guys were in the conceptual stages?
Well, you know, I would say the world that, you know, was mentioned to us was basically like, really, I'm trying to verbalize where you could say this thing was going. It was really saying who would be the real survivors, you know? Hold on one second. I do have a very special guest I think that we could get for you guys.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, you guys rap for 30 seconds. I'm going to bring somebody into this phone call. Don't hang up on me. I'm going to tie somebody in.
Hold all right, cool.
I think he meant rap with a W, but I'm going with it.
Gosh, no. We need Citizen Z's girlfriend to rap for us.
God, yes,
for sure.
They have a baby.
Yeah.
It's been
at
2 years.
At this point, they would have like a... God, I want to say like 16 months.
What is a normal aging baby in this show?
That's what does that look like?
let's not look at Lucy for the answer there.
But let's look at Lucy for now.
Yeah, I mean, talking about Addie's new look, Lucy's definitely got a new look.
Yeah. How does she keep curls in the apocalypse?
Played her?
I think it's
more than that.
But yeah, I'm loving the look. I love their sassy walk.
So,
I love.
So, lady?
Yeah.
Hey there.
I'm back. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm back. I have a very special guest for you. And you just asked the question, where did the concept of what the initial kernel of where this world was going to go in season 4 come from? I think we should just hear it right from the horse's mouth. Carl Schaefer, the creator of the show.
Hey, Carl.
Anyway,
hey,
Carl. I didn't know I was the horse's mouth. I suppose that's better than being the horse's ass.
Thank you for making that joke, so I didn't have to.
Good. How are you guys holding up?
Good. We're, you know, finishing up the last couple of episodes here, shoot the final one, and I just locked the picture on episode 11. So
nice.
All right. Going great. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Fantastic.
And it's not an oncoming train.
In the show or for you? This is a really good question.
Well, so for all they're okay. Wondering where, like, where your conception for the seeds of season 4's world came from. They were talking about how this season is much, much different than any season before it. And I figured
I think
that...
it was a sharp blow to the head in an auto accident. No, I well, I know we really wanted to reset the show, and there was a lot of, I think everybody felt like they liked seeing the characters all together on a single mission more. And gosh, I think some of it came out of conversations I had with Kalita about dreams and, being on a mission and things, you know, the subconscious and how we're driven by our subconscious. And also some of it just came about organically, you know, in the room when we got our writing staff together and just kind of laid out the most basic outline of the season and then, you know, started filling in the pieces. And then backfilling it, so it seems like we knew this was coming the whole time.
This was absolutely the plan. How did you not see it coming?
I do want to ask both of you about sort of the shift in dynamic for Murphy and Warren's relationship, because they've been combative against one another basically from the very start.
From the get-go,
From the start. And it's kind of interesting to see them, you know, kind of allow that sort of intimacy that, you know, we've always known that even though they fight, they have this mutual respect for one another. And now that they're in this same place together, kind of a lot of what they were fighting about was gone.
Well, and I think they, you know, they bonded some over Lucy and rescuing Lucy. And also, you know, Murphy is now semi-cured. I won't say he's completely cured, because we'll see what's going to happen to him as the season goes on.
Ooh.
But, you know, which sort of changes his attitude somewhat and makes him a little more of a human being. And maybe he's just grown with the experience, you know. The apocalypse is sort of a life expanding experience for people. We learn and grow in the apocalypse.
And then we die.
Yeah, mostly that. Mostly that, I'd say, actually.
A lot of dying.
Well, it's also Murphy, I think, you know, Murphy is a guy who, you know, he finds himself, especially in episode one, in the lap of luxury, and it just doesn't get much better than that for somebody like him. And the question is, you know, is he going to be able to have that for the rest of the season?
Of course not.
Well, just how long can he stay on good behavior? You know, he's before he backslides into his old ways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you can only be Stepford for so long without actually drinking the Kool-Aid.
I don't know. I think he looked like he had adjusted pretty well to it. He has tennis dates, and
eventually he'd go nuts.
Yeah, that's true. Eventually he'd get really bored, especially if there was nobody. Yeah, and nobody like Warren to sort of keep him in line.
Well, and everyone's just like, oh, Mr. Murphy, oh, this, oh, that. And it's like, where's the challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. I mean, that's why he probably committed mail fraud in the first place.
So.
Wait, what?
He loves the casual sex.
That's true. Right. The foursome.
That keeps him focused.
How excited was Keith about...
I was just trying to... I mean, I think... What's that?
Oh, I was just going to ask, how excited was Keith about his new makeup look?
None.
Well, he was excited not to spend 4 hours a day in the makeup chair.
It's Lucy's job now.
Although he sort of, you know, he kind of missed the way he looked in the blue. He did look awesome.
He did.
With blue skin.
Yeah.
And we may not be done with his tint yet, so...
We shall see.
Like I said, it's Lucy's job to be in the chair now.
Yeah, he might have a relapse. Who even knows? But but yeah, it was one of those things where the second we see him without the makeup, I was just like, is Warren still dreaming? Yeah. It's been so long since we've seen him on camera without the makeup.
Well, that's sort of what we want people doing this season, is constantly asking questions. You know, like, wait, what's happening now? Things are changing. Because we're all about things, you know, the unexpected, I think, is our kind of our hallmark. So,
Well,
it's totally true, and you're in for you know, hopefully this doesn't say too much, but you're definitely in for a ride that is it's a roller coaster this season, 100%.
Isn't it always though?
When has it not been a roller coaster?
It's always a roller coaster, true, but I can definitely, you know, from my standpoint, Carl, you tell me if you feel how you feel, but this season is definitely a crazy roller coaster. When it says things got worse, it's not joking.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a crazy roller coaster with a bunch of bolts missing on it, so to keep it, like, really interesting.
I will say that one of the things I enjoyed was the callback to the zombie tumbleweed. And yeah. It was bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, the zombie ball.
Yep.
I was so happy about that.
That was a lot of fun. So actually kind of expanding, one thing though, again, just kind of what kept me going, like, yeah, this is definitely going to be a season of a lot of questions, was during Warren's dream seeing the giant stingray flying through the sky. I had many question about that.
Sea pancakes.
But I'm not sure you guys can answer those, so we can definitely move on.
I noticed that a lot of what she was dreaming of corresponded to stuff that was happening or was going to happen in real life, and she was in front of a control panel when the stingray comes by. Yeah, no, that's the flying thing that shot her last season, and dollars to donuts, that control panel Ooh. Is in charge of it somehow.
Ooh.
Maybe. May. Interesting theory.
Should I give you a minute to get popcorn while you listen to this? You sit there eating popcorn, grinning and listening.
Foolish fools. kind of talking about getting out of Zona for a moment and kind of looking at the rest of the group, which set of characters were you guys most excited to explore sort of what they've been up to during the interim, during the 2-year time period that we've skipped?
Well, I think besides Murphy and Warren, I think, you know, seeing what Doc and 10K were up to, certainly, and 10K and Red, you know, I think it was, you know, a lot of it's about just seeing our gang back in the saddle again, you know, with a new mission, and when they're not sure just how it's going to go or what exactly even the mission is.
We're going to New America, which is not insurance.
right.
Yeah, how do we spell that? Is that N-E-W?
N-E-W.
It is N-E-W. Okay, yep.
Okay.
New America.
I'll fix my notes.
New-America.
But sorry, Abram, what were you going to say?
No, I was about to say, like, you know, the fact that, like, Numerica is in Canada is just funny to me. So,
it's a lovely country.
Yeah, we like taking over territory. So,
well, it's really a lot of fun to see how, I don't know, the data of Z Nation and its characters applies to a pretty wide demographic, you know. In the sense that it is social commentary. There's a lot of you know, reflected surfaces going on in the show that, you know, may be hilarious to people, but you know, you dig underneath and it shows a lot of the kind of topsy-turvy world that we see today. And that's what makes it fun, is it allows you to sort of poke fun and laugh at your own situation, even when your own situation is a hard situation. So, you know, there's the quote-unquote freedom of the apocalypse versus the barcode oppression of paradise in Zona. And you can kind of see how some of the new characters are the ones that sort of raised the biggest eyebrow outside of our main squeezes, such as, like, you know, Henry Rollins' character, Mueller.
Yeah.
You know, He's an interesting guy, the Marine that likes to hug people.
You need a hug.
Uh-huh. That was perfect.
Awesome.
Seeing Henry Rollins do that character, I was just like, what is happening? I'm so excited.
I'm pretty sure the woman he hugged was thinking the same thing, but also just like, human contact!
But you really do need human contact. Like, there are very few people that can survive without it.
Yeah, and he literally said that,
yeah,
like, almost...
Yeah, it's a condition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Skin hunger.
What's it called?
It's called skin hunger. Yeah, skin hunger.
What a great word.
Sounds like a horror movie, but
doesn't
not
sound
a horror
like
movie.
Something you want to have in the zombie apocalypse either.
I got the skin hunger real bad.
I got the skin
okay.
No,
okay.
I don't have skin hunger. I don't have skin hunger.
But yeah, it was really funny. I wish you guys could watch with us on occasion because while we were watching it and he's hugging this woman, she hugs him back. Katie's going, well, actually, yes, that's a psychological condition. And human contact's really important. And literally 2 seconds later, he goes, human contact is really important.
I have a font of worthless information.
So that's delightful, to say the least.
That's the real purpose of Z Nation, is to create, like, subliminal PSAs so that, you know, you can educate the youth.
Right. No, it's the most violent show about empathy on the internet, so...
Oh, so true.
No, we just soften up your psyche with like violence and grossness, and then slip you in a PSA, you know, about how it's good to be nice to people.
You know, we've had a lot of fun here. We've had a lot of fun here killing zombies today.
No, we've got
to remember,
you
guys,
know on the soundbar.
That problem would be gone forever.
Let's just hug the zombies. That's all they need.
Well, talking about the zombies, the thing this
warm
show...
Warm bodies, that's what that was.
Yeah. One of the things that you guys, and we've talked to you guys on numerous occasions about this before, is the subject of the zombies themselves and how you guys always like to keep things interesting with both the looks and types of zombies that we see within this wasteland. But something that very, very, I think I want to say almost no zombie media really does, because it's very much a staple of the genre, is that headshots kill zombies. And as we see in that brief hand twitch in this episode, and in the preview for the next episode, that's not necessarily the case anymore. Was that definitely, was that just you guys going, hey, you know what would be great for, like, removing all hope from the situation? Headshots don't work anymore.
These are zombies with death ward cast on them.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, we definitely sit down and just make a list of, like, how, you know, how much worse can we make them every season?
Taking away headshots,
just throw
bad.
That at our characters and then try and figure it out, you know? that's sort of the things that I did, like, the when I come to the room at the beginning of the season, you know, we throw in these elements and just see how they change the whole dynamic of the show. Because it is a problem when you can't mercy them.
Yeah.
That does make it a little more difficult.
Jeez, yeah.
I reject your mercy.
Well, yeah, when you get to the point where...
It's also the nature of evolution, you know? Just like, just as, you know, viruses will evolve, you know, the zombie virus evolves and adapts to a world in which, you know, you do have a really large zombie scrum, rolling around the nation and getting bigger and bigger and bigger with zombies kind of eating themselves. And you know, the next step is the zombie that can't be put down.
Man.
Did this happen?
Oh, it's terrifying. But yeah, it's something that, like I said, I don't think a lot of zombie media has covered, at least nothing I can think of immediately. In my mind, whenever, like, headshots don't work, it's because it's, like, sort of like a thing scenario. Like, yeah. A John Carpenter's The Thing scenario. Sadly, we are running short on time. Ladies, do you have any more questions for our guests before we wrap up for the evening?
No, that was a very dark note to end on.
I believe the phrase we're looking for is, but why, though?
How about this? Final question. What can fans, just in like a couple cryptic words, what can fans expect for the rest of this season?
More mystery, I think. More mystery and drama and crazy action.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Jinkies.
Wonderful.
You got to hang in there to the end to find out what it's all about.
Then you'll pull another huge apocalyptic cliffhanger on us again.
Oh, no!
We're four for four so far.
Well, again, cannot say thank you guys so much for all of your hard work on this show and for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. It really means a lot. Where can people go if they want to keep up with you guys and all of your upcoming projects?
I'm on Facebook as Carl Schaefer and on Twitter as Unreal Carl.
And I am on Instagram as @TC Abram and also on Twitter as @TC Abram.
Well, again, thank you guys so much again for all of your hard work. Cannot wait to see how this season wraps up.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, be sure to check out episode 2. It's great.
Cannot wait to get back onto this rickety roller coaster.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be so much fun. All right. Thank you
so
much.
We're tightening bolts where we can, but we can't get it all.
Fair enough.
That's what makes it fun.
Well, again, thank you
guys. I know, exactly. Otherwise, it'd be boring.
It would be boring.
All right. Thank you, guys.
It would be boring if it was just a regular roller coaster.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Real quick. Prediction round, because I think that's all we have time for. Really, now, really quick predictions.
I don't think 5K is dead.
You think he's still alive, even though there was a pile of meat bones?
Yeah, I think that desiccated corpse was the man.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I did freeze and zoom in on it, and there was definitely a vest, but I couldn't tell if there were two bodies. You're welcome for that.
I freezed and zoomed on the pile of dead meat.
I freezed and I zoomed in, and I was like,
zoom and enhance.
Did anybody see the end of We're Back, a Dinosaur Story? I just hope that that's not what the murder of crows
did. Oh, God. Oh, my childhood trauma has returned. Thank you.
I think that's a fair assessment, though. I think he's still out there.
I think it would be crazy if, and I mentioned this today, and she didn't really believe me, Katie over here. She's pointing in silence.
J'accuse.
Because the first episode is called Warren's Dream. What if the twist at the end of the 13 episodes is that she then wakes up?
This whole season is a dream?
She never had blonde hair. Well, in the
what
first...
What soap opera is it where it's just the child staring into the snow globe?
Was that... That's General Hospital?
Was that General Hospital? I know that Dallas did. It was all a dream.
For an entire season.
Yeah.
Not for the whole show.
No.
Yeah. I don't know if it means anything. I just want to point out that the very first dream sequence we see at the beginning of this episode, she still has her black hair. And then in every other flash, she has her bright blonde hair.
Yeah, she's...
Well, I think for that dream sequence, that was how she thinks of herself.
It was the Daenerys Targaryen look.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. She rocked it.
I will say that, like, the fact that she has Murphy DNA in her now because of the gunshot wound, I feel like whatever problem he's going to have later on down the line this season with his condition, that's going to be her problem, too.
Oh, absolutely. Murphy's problems are everyone's problems. That's the byline of this entire series.
New America, I'm going to go with, this is just like every other quote-unquote safe haven that we've ever been to, where either it's not going to be safe or it's safe, and then our heroes come in and it burns to the ground.
Yes.
I think the really interesting thing this season, before everybody gets back together, is Lucy and Addie.
Mm.
Like, that dynamic is going to be very interesting to explore, particularly because Lucy bit Addie in order to keep her alive, and... It created this interesting telepathic sort of abilities that they now have, this link that they share. But as we've seen before, anytime somebody gets bit by Murphy or Lucy, I mean, 10K is the one that's gotten off the best so far. But
mean,
it usually
Ma
doesn't
and
end
Pa
well.
Kettle were doing okay until our protagonist showed back up.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, I think that just about does it for this week. Michelle, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Robots in Disguise is Tuesdays at 7. We are wrapping up our final season. Voltron Season 4 starts in 2 weeks. It's going to be Monday at 9. And Arrow's also coming back in a couple weeks. We've moved to Thursdays. Yay! It does that.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to check out Season 2 of The Shadow Radio Recreation. And special shout out to Mike and Alicia on Twitter for tweeting along with the hashtag. You guys are great. We'll do our iTunes shout out next time. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. And we will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.